Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. If you have your Bible there today, open it up to 2 Peter 3, and we're going to take up a question that Peter asks his audience. Peter asks us and asks you, and he says in 2 Peter 3, verse 12, he says that we are looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Therefore, beloved, be diligent to be found by him, looking forward to these things in peace, without spot and blameless, and considering that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Well, Peter speaks these things in response to a question that he asks in verse 11, where he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he's talking about the earth, the heavens, the earth. He says, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? And so I ask you that today, brothers and sisters, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness, in light of the fact that when you look around the world, when you see the news reports that come on every night, whether it's on the computer or the television or however you catch the news, when you look around, it seems to be that all hell is breaking loose. It seems to be that we are in a time of great distress, of great sorrow, of great pain, of great tribulation, and it seems to be that there is very little good news to rejoice about, that there's very little good news to shout about. And as we look at the rise of ISIS and we look at the rise of radical terrorism and Islamic jihad all across the world, and we just wonder, where is this all going to lead? We just wonder, where can it all go to? Is this just the start of even worse things yet to come? Is this just the beginning of the time of sorrows? And so as we look at the news and we think about our children, we think about our grandchildren, we think about how this nation of America, how are we going to survive with the type of questionable leadership that we have? How are we going to make it into the next decade or into the next century? And if Jesus doesn't come back, we're going to have to figure out how to live here on this earth. We're going to have to figure out how to deal with all these demonic forces of evil, these powers and principalities that are rising up to seemingly destroy all of civilized society. And we just wonder, how are we going to do it? And so Peter asks this question, and in 2 Peter 3:9, he also explains to us why the Lord hasn't brought an end to all this madness, why the Lord hasn't called the church home and raptured the church and taken us out of all this madness. And there are days, beloved, I can admit to you, when it seems like it would be the best thing for the church to just be raptured out of here and for us to be with the Lord and not have to deal with all this misery and all the pain and all the suffering here on this earth, all the children that are trapped in sex slavery and all the children that are being abused and exploited and all the cartels that are taking over countries. It seems that maybe it would be just be better for the Lord to take us and get rid of all this misery and all this suffering. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack about his promise, as some count slackness, or some translations say the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so what Peter is saying is the reason God allows this to go on, the reason God allows this misery and this scenario that's playing out in the world, the reason God allows it to go on is because of his long-suffering and because of his patience, because he is not slow. He is patient towards every single person. He is patient towards those in the drug cartels. He's patient towards those in the prisons. He's patient towards those who seemingly are lost and have no interest in ever knowing God or ever seeking God or ever coming to him. He is patient towards those who are living in sin and are mired in sin and mired in their own iniquity. And so we don't, as believers, we don't get self-righteous. It is not up to us. It is not up to us to say, Lord, bring it to an end right now. Lord, bring it to an end. Because I tell you, brothers and sisters, there are some of you out there, and myself included, who, if God brought it to an end this day, if Jesus came back this day, that some of your loved ones would be in hell for all eternity. Some of your loved ones would not be saved. And that is true for my family as well. If Jesus were to come back and rapture the church out here at this time, that some of my loved ones would not be going. They would not make the grade. And so coming at a time known only to the Father, and Jesus is coming at a time when the Father says, my son, go and get your church, go and get your bride, and bring him to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so God is not slow about his promise, but he is waiting, and he is waiting, and he is waiting for each and every person who has been given the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and each and every person who has been given a call to come to the Lord. He is waiting for them to come. And so God is not slow about his promise, but he desires that all should come to know repentance. Well, how are we to live then? And considering the circumstances of the day, considering all of the bleak reports of the day, how are we to live? Well, we are to live a life that helps those around us and encourages those around us to seek that repentance which God desires, to seek that place in the kingdom of God which God desires for every single person on the face of the earth. Well, I'm going to talk about Jonah here in the book of Jonah. If you have your Bible, turn it over in the Old Testament to the book of Jonah. And in Jonah, God had sent Jonah. He said in Jonah 1, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, beloved, let me tell you out there today, there's only two camps here on this earth. You're either in the camp of Nineveh, and you're serving the devil's kingdom, and you're doing the work of the devil here on this earth, or you're in the camp of God, and God has placed upon you a call and a destiny, and he has given you a commission, just like he did to Jonah. And he said to Jonah, I see my eyes rove across the face of the earth, and I see Nineveh, and I believe that I want you, Jonah, to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. Well, if you're in the position of Jonah, you're probably a little bit nervous and a little bit tentative, and you may be even wanting to run the other way. You may want to get on a ship and head to Tarshish, which was the other end of the Mediterranean Sea, and you may say, God, that's not for me. First of all, I don't think I can preach to those people. I don't think I have the ability. I'm not equipped to do that. But secondly, Jonah was looking at those people in Nineveh, and he says, God, why do you even care about those people? Why do you even care? What difference does it make if the people in Nineveh come to know the Lord? What difference does it make if they come to a place of repentance? Well, if you have that attitude, brothers and sisters, I want you to repent of that today. Ask the Lord to forgive you, and if you have people in your family that are walking with the devil, maybe they're trapped in all kinds of bondage, maybe they're trapped in all kinds of addictions and all kinds of sinful behavior, I want you to pray for those people. Ask the Lord to bless them and take it upon yourself to pray for those people, to be an intercessor for that person. Maybe a whole community or a whole gang or a group of people, pray for them, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus, that they would seek his face, and maybe God will use you. Maybe he'll say to you, go and speak to those people, go and preach to those people. And maybe God will pinpoint you and say, you're the man, or you're the woman that I want to send to those people. You're the man, you're the woman that I am going to use to speak my words to those people, that they would come to know me, that they would repent of their sins, that they would turn from their wicked ways, and they would seek my face. And so if you are in that situation today, you're in the camp of Jonah. Maybe you're a believer. Maybe you're just a baby believer and a baby Christian. But God will open up doors for you to witness. God will open up doors for you to share your testimony. And then the second part of that is, why should you care about the people in Nineveh? Why should you care about our president? Why should you care about some family member, maybe your own children, maybe a cousin, an uncle, your mother and father, who are not living for the Lord? Why should you care? It's because of what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, that God desires every single person to come to a place of repentance. God desires every single person. It is His will that every single person come to know Him and come to a place of repentance. God cares about the brokenhearted. He cares about the widows. He cares about the orphans. He cares about these men sitting out here in this prison. He cares about the women down at Topeka sitting in the women's correctional facility. It's God's will that every single person come to know Him. And so I ask you today, brothers and sisters, I ask you, what are you doing in your life to help bring people to the kingdom of God? What are you doing with the time and the resources and the talents that God has given you to help bring people into the kingdom of God, to help people see that they need to repent, to help people see that they need to turn from their wicked ways and seek His face? Well, of course, we know that Jonah took off in the other direction. He took off for Tarshish. And I'm not going to preach the whole message on Jonah today, but other than just to say that many times we're just like Jonah. Many times when God puts a call on our life and says, go here, go there, go speak to that person, we just say, God, I don't have time for that. I've got a ball game I've got to get to, or I've got some kind of a meeting I've got to get to, or I need some downtime, I need some relaxation. And God is just saying to you, I want you to go. The Great Commission was given to you. If you're a believer out there today, the Great Commission is given to you. And I'm not expecting or asking every one of you to go to Africa. That's not what I'm saying. I know that's pretty radical. I know that's pretty extreme. It sounded extreme for me as well when it was first proposed to me by the Lord. But as God gave me the strength to do it, as God encouraged me and gave me the strength and opened up the door, He provided for me the opportunity, then He provided for me the provision, then He provided for me the strength to go, and He will do the same for you. Maybe you are elderly out there listening today, and you don't have the strength to go. God may have given you money, He may have given you provision, so that you can send someone else. And I pray that if that is you today, that you'll be listening to this message, and you'll take your money, and you'll put it in the kingdom purposes. You'll take your money, and you will support those missionaries that can go, and you will support the kingdom of God as it expands here on the earth. Well, in chapter 3 in Jonah, verse 1, it says, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. And so Jonah comes right back to the place where God had called him the first time, after getting ride in a whale for 3 days and three nights, clear down into hell, into Sheol. God brought Jonah right back, and He said, Jonah, we're going to start from go. We're going to go to Nineveh again, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach the message to the people of Nineveh that I tell you. Well, in verse 5, Jonah goes to the people of Nineveh, and he preaches them, and it says, The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And so Jonah went under the strength and the power of God. He went to Nineveh. He preached the message, Yet 40 days and repent, or you will be overthrown. And so the people of Nineveh heard the message. They believed in it. They responded. And that is what God's will is for you. If you're an unbeliever out there today, if you're in the camp of Nineveh, you have been given a message that you need to respond to the Lord. Maybe He sent somebody to you already. Maybe somebody from your family has spoken to you and say, Turn back to the Lord. Turn from your wicked ways. Maybe He's already sent a Jonah to you. And if you rejected that Jonah, God has given you another chance, because He is not slow, but He is patient towards us. He is patient towards you, and it's His desire that you would come to know Him and that you would seek His face. Well, Jonah was diligent. He was faithful to preach the word. And then it says in verse 10 that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So God had already determined in his mind that he was going to bring a disaster upon Nineveh. He gave them 40 days to repent. And so when they believed God and when they cried out in sackcloth and they cried out to the Lord, then God said, I'm going to relent. I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to do the disaster that I had originally intended to bring upon Nineveh. And that may be the case with America today. The Lord is saying to you today, America, turn back to me. The Lord is saying, the prophets are crying out. The prophets are saying, yet 40 days and repent. And I believe if we don't turn back to the Lord, there's going to be great calamity come upon America. I believe great calamity is going to strike America. And I don't say that with any joy, but I just believe that God is patient, but his patience is growing thin with America. All the abortions that we have committed in the last 40 years, and our push for homosexual marriage, and our utter humiliation of Israel and our stance against Israel, I believe God's patience is wearing thin. And so I believe God wants to bless America, but it is becoming increasingly difficult for God to keep his hand of blessing upon America. Well, in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Jonah, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Well, Jonah became angry because God relented of his disaster that he had planned for Nineveh. God relented. He said, I'm not going to do it. And Jonah became exceedingly angry. Well, what right did Jonah have to become angry? He had no right at all. Those were God's children in Nineveh. Those were God's livestock in Nineveh. All of those houses God allowed them to build and create. All of the fields God allowed them to farm and to take the food out of those fields. Everything about Nineveh was of the Lord's creation. And so God had a right to be caring about his people in Nineveh. God had a right to care about every single soul in Nineveh. Well, in verse 11 in chapter 4, God says to Jonah, basically he says, Jonah, you don't have any right to be angry. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much less livestock? So basically God is saying, I have a right. These are my children. These are my people. There's 120,000 of them that are going to perish and go to hell if they don't hear the word and if they don't repent. Well, we have the same situation here today in America. There's 350 million people here in America. They need to know the Lord. They need to come to him. They need to repent of their wicked ways. And as God has called me to be the watchman on the wall, to be a watchman here in this city, and to be a watchman across the earth through the blessings of this radio broadcast, God is saying, turn back to me. Turn back to me. And it's never too late. As long as God gives us breath, as long as God anoints us to preach the word, as God anoints us to prophesy, it is never too late. And America, God is giving us another day. He's giving us another chance. But I urge you, brother, if you're listening, and sister out there listening to me today, turn to the Lord. Turn back to him. If you're not living for the Lord, I urge you to live for the Lord this day. If you're not spending time in prayer, interceding for your family today, I urge you, spend time in prayer for your family today. If you're not spending time in God's word and letting that peace of God's word soak into your spirit and soak into your soul and into your mind, I urge you today, spend time in God's word. That so when you have an opportunity to defend the faith, when you have an opportunity to say to someone, when they ask you, what is the reason for that peace within you? What is the reason for that hope within you? That you have a defense to make, and you can make a reasonable defense, and you can tell people what is the reason for that hope within you. Well, beloved, the day of the Lord is coming. It's, for some people, it's going to come way too soon rather than not soon enough. And many, many people here in America are not going to be ready. Many, many people are going to think that the day of the Lord is not going to come, that Jesus isn't coming back, and they're going to be eating, drinking, and being merry, and they are not going to be ready. And so I urge you to pray for them. Pray for those in your family that are lost. Pray for this country, for its leaders. And as you do that, as you pray for them, then God will send his angels and act his warfare against the kingdom of the devil here on this earth. Well, I'm going to close in Joel 2, verse 1. Joel, the prophet, told the people of Israel, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand." And verse 12, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and full of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm." At verse 14, "And who knows if God will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." And so we pray that God will relent of any calamity or disaster he has planned for America, of any judgment that he has planned on America. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is growing short when God is going to release or allow the devil to release judgments against America. And I believe that we need to be in prayer. We need to turn and we need to seek his face. We need to cry out to him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Well, brothers and sisters, our land needs healing. Our land needs healing in a most desperate way. And so if you are a believer out there today, pray for the Lord to heal our land. Cry out to him. Seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. And if you're in the camp of Nineveh out there today, I pray that you just turn to the Lord, that you cry out to him, that you repent of your sins, and you ask the Lord Jesus to come in and save you. You ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and show you himself and show you that he is real and that he is mighty to save. And step out in faith and do that today. He will be faithful and true to his word, and he will save you. Well, I thank you for listening today. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Tune in again next week.